Oh, baby. Welcome to this week's It Feels Right podcast with Rob. And we've got a little hiccup. No Stone this week, but we do have Gregory Dow. So It Feels Right with Rob and Dow this week. Stone hopefully back next week. But we are going to be covering a recap of the Sacramento APP, recap of the Minnesota PPA, and then we are going to hop into
some previews of the upcoming Austin PPA. We might do some trending up, trending down, and possibly another special guest. I guess we'll see.
Let's get into it.
Because you know why? Why? Because it feels right. It feels right.
Legendary.
You just, you know, you roll out of bed.
That's
and
exactly God, what
it's just, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of those haircuts like in the 90s of like little TV, like kid TV stars.
Yeah.
Like a little like Jonathan Taylor Thomas action. God, it's just adorable.
So I'm going for it, man, I guess. And I used to, you know, no product, no nothing.
It's funny. I used to like, that used to be like the hair that I wanted in like seventh grade. I just could never figure out how to do it. It was that one. And I think when I was a little younger, I wanted like the part on the side with like, you know, the hair coming over it, but like kind of like poofy over.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I could never get it. My hair just wasn't suited for it.
Yeah. This is, I'm having a good hair day today, to be honest. This is, I was going to wear a hat and I took the hat off and looked at myself, and usually there's problems all over and I just end up wearing a hat, but
yeah.
This is like an 8 out of 10 hair day for me, and it's still not that great. So I appreciate it.
And it's still early.
We're here.
Well, we are. And that's the wild thing about this. We are here. This is It Feels Right with Rob and Stone, but now it feels right with Rob and Greg. So here we are. Stone has back to back weekends. He was just up in Minneapolis doing the PPA commentary, and he's going straight to Austin for commentary there. So he will be missed this week, but look forward to having him back next week. But in the meantime, we've got, you know, we're blessed by having this little sweet angel on the podcast with us.
Thanks, man. Appreciate that.
So typically, Greg, we like to start off with a little amateur pickleball talk. It doesn't even have to be amateur, but how to get better at pickleball. And I want to know Greg Dow's tip of the week.
Yeah.
If somebody's going out to play today, what can they do today to actually work on their game and get better?
Okay. So I'm running a camp this week in Charleston. I actually was talking about this yesterday for like a long time. When you're at the kitchen, okay, if you ever played basketball, a lot of times when your team is shooting the ball too quickly in the half court and they're not getting a good shot, they're not passing the ball around, your coach will tell you, hey, make 5 passes minimum before you shoot the ball, okay? So same thing at the kitchen line, okay? If you make 5 dinks. 5 dinks. They don't have to be good. They just have to be unattackable. They can be a little short dinks that are easy. Just make 5 dinks. I guarantee, this is what I tell people, you won't even get to 5. Because if you make 5 dinks yourself, with your teammate, obviously making probably 5 as well, you won't even get to 5 because the other team will either pop the ball up or miss it or whatever. Like, just make 5. Every time you make a dink, just say 1 and then 2. So just making dinks at the kitchen, okay? And part of this is obviously that, you know, this is kind of a separate tip, not really. Just keeping it simple at the kitchen, just simplicity in general, but keeping it simple at the kitchen, especially like I fall victim to this, where I'm trying to like wrist it and really do this, all this craziness and like disguise my, just make some freaking, especially anywhere below 5-0, to be honest, just make dinks, like just make, they will make a mistake. Just make dinks, simplify that stroke. Just make a freaking dink. Make 5. and then see what happens. You won't even get to five. You'll get a pop-up. If you're below, and I'm not talking about three, I'm talking about everybody other than like Crow, to be honest with you.
But
you
honestly though, even Pro, this is this is not terrible advice for even Pro.
No, it's not.
Yeah. Truly. So we're gonna have a fun little guest here in a bit, and it's gonna relate to this quite a bit because I've been watching more than my fair share of amateur pickleball lately, and it's so true. I mean, I've been watching. You've been down to the Rowdy Pickle, Greg. You know what goes on down there in Jacksonville. But there's
what's
a women's
his name again. Sorry, what's his
Ryan
name?
Roach. Let's go, yeah. Ryan Roach.
Yes, check this guy out, man. He's like, you know, James Ignatowicz type of, you know, he's not James, but he's, yeah.
He's what?
Keep very going. Handsome. Very handsome. Someone I look up to. So, go ahead. Ryan Roach.
Love it. Ryan Roach, Rowdy Pickle, Jacksonville, Florida. But at the Rowdy Pickle, there's a women's league. They play Thursday nights. And what you're saying is, I would say the level is probably like 4-0. Maybe 3-5 to 4-5, but averaging like a 4-0. And you just don't see this. You see like a dink and then like a speed up and then bang, bang. But you're right. If you could just dink five balls, it also makes your speed ups more effective, which is what we talked about last week is frequency of speed ups. The less you speed up, the better your speed up is because they're not just sitting on it and waiting for it. So I love that tip. We'll talk a little bit more about the Rowdy Pickle and the Women's League a little later in this episode because of our special guest, not Ryan Roach, I'm sorry. But
I would have lost it. He's just adorable.
So, okay, tip of the week. Boom. You heard it, Greg Dowell. What lucky campers you're going to have this week.
Make
you
know, five games. That's all I say. Hey, they're like talking to me about blah, blah. I'm like, guys, just make it. Just put the ball in the court.
Just make a dink.
Make a dink. That's it. You know, nothing crazy here.
That's a t-shirt we need. Just make a dink, Greg Dowell.
I got another t-shirt idea real quick. God, family, pickle. What do you think? Yeah,
dude, you're going to put up stands along, you know, I-95 and you're going to sell a lot.
Hey, any Walmart in the Southeast, you throw that in there in Arkansas or something, it'll just sell like hotcakes. You
sold
know what
out.
I'm saying?
Put Greg Dow's face on the front of it, that on the
God
back.
Family Pickle and I'm on the back. Me and Trump on the back.
Oh, my God.
Cut that.
No, we're not cutting that.
Yeah, cutting
just because
that.
It's no, that's what makes
it's all
it great.
Good. It's all good. That's me.
This is part of the Greg Dowell experience. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Just, sorry, go ahead. I interrupted you.
No, I have no idea what we're talking about, but
this is
the idea of this podcast with Greg Dowell is it takes us wherever it takes us. I'm surrendering. Wherever we go, we go.
Yeah, but caffeine just started to hit, so
Perfect. It's time. A lot of pickle this past weekend. I don't know how much you got to watch, but I watched a fair amount. We had the PPA rolling in Minnesota. We had the APP out in Sacramento. Had some interesting matchups, interesting results. We saw the Johnsons, JW and Georgia, out in Sacramento. We saw Tardio out in Sacramento. We had some players missing from Minnesota, but we had some. We had Thomas Wilson with a double gold at the PPA. That's huge.
Yeah, dude, he's nasty. I think he like a year ago, or even like 9 months ago, like to put Thomas Wilson like close to, like I think he's for sure. We can go through the list, but I think he's a top 10 men's doubles player.
Yeah,
like locked in. And I think a year ago. I don't think he was even, I mean, maybe he's close, but he has gotten a lot better. Yeah. I think I was just thinking about it. Like I was watching this weekend. I'm like, is Thomas Wilson that like he, but he's gotten a lot, like he was always good, obviously, but he's gotten like elite. Like he's one of the best players in the world. Like he really is. I don't know what the reason he's, you know, what he's been doing. Maybe he's training more. He's still kind of old. No offense, Thomas. Actually, oh my God. I know why.
Oh, here it goes. Baby fever's kicking in. I mean, baby fever's kicking in.
No, no, no. Because I've seen the same, because I mean, I had this, it's not a theory, it's real. You know that lady who talked about the kids thing? She is right about the, what she said about the first kid does help you. Because I've seen it in my own life. When Scarpa had his kid, he immediately got a little bit better. Like it is a factor. I think it's just like, it's something in your animal brain where, you know, you're no longer playing for, I'm just playing for me. I have nobody who can, you know, doesn't matter. When you have a mouth to feed and the thing that you created with the girl that you love most in the world, and now this little thing is the thing you love, you would give your life for this thing, and this thing relies on you 100%, that's in the back of your head. That's in the back of your mind. So those points, those matches that you might give away a couple, whatever, not anymore, because it's, I'm playing for something more than myself, okay? God, family, pickle, all right? So I really believe, so that's what it is. I just explained it to myself. Like, Thomas had a kid and he got, you know, 5-10% better. So
yeah, I think you're right. I think it makes you hungrier. It makes you, like you said, it does. It's, I agree. There's like some innate, like animal instinct of, I have to, and you see this outside of just pickle and sports too, but you see it in all areas of life. You see it in business. Like you just get hungrier. Like you have to provide, you have to make it work. You have to, So I think you're right. You don't throw away those loose points anymore. You're like, oh, I've got that little thing over there. I can't throw away a dink. I gotta make one more dink. Gotta make five dinks.
Make five. Yeah. I mean, it's really true. I don't think it's even a conscious thing. It's just an unconscious thing. Like, so Thomas hasn't actually gotten better. He just got lucky because he had a kid, and like that's what made him better. Basically,
we gotta make sure he doesn't have another kid, right? Because that's where it all goes down.
We'll see. I don't know about any of that, but I know for a fact that I've seen it with my own eyes. When you have a kid, it does make you better.
I agree. And I was kidding about the second one, because that was what I think that was what that commentator said.
But anyways, he's really good. Yeah. And him and Alshon this weekend, I watched most of their matches. And I mean, especially, I think the most interesting match was Matt Wright and Colin Johns versus Alshon and Thomas.
It wasn't close, right?
It was. Did you watch that?
4-3. I saw the score and I didn't actually see it. What happened?
Absolute destruction.
What happened?
It was just a barrage of just
lighting up Colin.
Lighting up everybody. Lighting up Colin, lighting up Matt. They did not drop one third shot. They drove everything. You know, it's indoor. So the ball is flying off both their paddles. I mean, Alshon's crushing the ball, and they're both really good at crashing. Even Thomas is playing the right, and he's crashing with a two-hander, which I haven't really seen that. Like, he's not really known for that. He was smacking the ball on the crash.
Yeah.
Alshon was hitting really, he's got a good forehand, but you know, he was rivaling Thomas with the forehand, just everything super low, just hitting the crap out of it. It was so aggressive. It was unbelievable. I mean, it was just absolute destruction. I mean, Matt and Colin, there was some confusion in the middle. They definitely were not on the same page, but that match was, I was like, holy crap, these guys are unbelievable, really.
Yeah. And that's, I think that matchup in particular, where you're playing Matt and Colin, you don't want to get into slow stuff with them. You know, Matt's so good with the deception off the bounce on the forehand over there, and Colin's just not going to miss. So the way you're going to get them is getting them in transition, getting them with the drive and the crash, putting them on their heels a little bit, because once the kitchen rally starts, you're going to be on your heels. I think after, you know, from the kitchen line, if every point starts from the kitchen line, I put Matt and Colin winning that 3-3. But obviously the game doesn't start from the kitchen line. It starts from the baseline, and indoors, fast conditions, hard hitters with good dip on those forehands. That thing's just dipping over the net. It's hard to keep a volley down on that. So, yeah, I mean, that's a good win. It was just, yeah, 4-3, something else. And then that's a tough way to get to the semis for Matt and Colin. You get to the semis and then you get, you know, beat pretty handily there. And then I think they got beat pretty handily in the third, fourth.
Did they? Yeah.
I'm not sure if it was handily, but I know they lost that third, fourth match. And
I'm trying to think what else. I mean the Sock, you watched the Sock Arnold match. That was an interesting match when they lost to Loon and Garnett.
Yeah, it's just too many. Just shot selection, obviously, and mixed. You can just blitz. You can blitz the female and get away with a lot of stuff. And men's, it's got to be a little bit more buttoned up and a little bit more patient. And shot selection matters a lot more. And men's, so it's what we see with everybody. It's what we saw with Ignatowicz. It's what we see, like, you know, singles, mixed. Results come relatively quickly, and then men's, I don't think it by any means I don't think it means Jack's not going to be good at men's. I think he's going to be fantastic at men's. I just think it takes a little longer to, it's the last event that it takes to really dial in.
I agree. I mean, he just a lot, and that's not a great team as far as, like, Julian likes to play the left and Jack likes to play the left, and they're both better on this side. So
yeah. They're
both good play. Julian's really good, but, you know, it's not the best pairing as far as, like, styles and
compatibility.
Compatibility. Yeah.
I agree.
But what else happened that tournament? Interesting. I'm trying to think.
So we had Salome taking gold in women's singles, beating Paris. I think Salome was up 8-0 in the third or something like that, and then Paris came all the way back to get it to 9-9 in the third game, and then Salome closed it out. But I mean, two tournaments in a row of PPAs where Salome beat Catherine's pretty wild, and then to have Catherine and Leia in the singles draw and neither get through is interesting results for sure. And I mean, props to Salome. That's good. It's good pickle.
How many hooks did she throw in there?
You know, I don't know. I didn't actually see it. I just saw the score and saw kind of the recap. But I read that it was a little contentious, and there are some calls. But that's what we have a review system for, Greg.
Yeah, it's just disappointing what I've seen from her, but
I haven't seen bad calls in a very long time from her. I think she's from what I've seen been, you know, she's just a very generous line caller these days.
That's true. I haven't seen, like, a viral clip recently, so that's a good run from her. The problem with women's singles is it just doesn't matter, because Anna Lee, if she's playing, is going to win. That's the problem.
No, but I've talked about this before. That's what actually makes me want to watch singles, is to see, and I might only watch the first 10 minutes of it if Anna Lee's playing, because I want to see, can somebody push her? Can somebody get close? Can somebody, like, break her? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's fun and exciting. I don't look at it as, like, oh, Anna Lee's going to walk through this again, which she usually, I mean, pretty much always does, but I will still tune in at least to the first game just to see if she can be pushed. I think it's always fun when you have somebody that dominant, and then you see somebody come along that can push her. And
yeah,
still waiting. Hasn't happened, and I don't think anybody's actually very close.
No. I think only chance would be, like, some pro tennis, but maybe you know, shout out Jeannie. You know, maybe Jeannie, she starts playing a lot. I mean, the girl is top 10 in the world, won Wimbledon or whatever. So like, she's a better tennis. She beat everyone in tennis 0-0.
Yeah.
All these girls, all of them, whatever, 1-1, whatever. Like, she'd kill everybody. So, and she's still pretty young. So someone like that, maybe not Jeannie, but somebody like that, I think would be the only chance to beat Anna Lee in the foreseeable future.
Yeah. And I think, I don't personally think it'll be Jeannie, because I think that person has to have kind of that pedigree, maybe not top 10, that kind of thing, but you have to still be hungry. I don't think I don't think Jeannie has much motivation to like her back's not against the wall to get to into the top 10 in women's pickleball. You know what I mean? It's like, it's
fun. I think Jeannie wants it. You know, I mean, she's got some fire, you know. You don't think, you know, she's all like,
I
you
believe
said,
she wants it, but I believe that, like, same thing with like the kid, the inherent nature of like her situation is, it's not money driven. She's already done this whole tennis thing for her whole life. How motivated could she actually be in terms of getting that good at pickle? Like, I think about like how much Anna Lee plays, how much Catherine plays, how much they train, how much they drill. Like, I just don't see a world where Jeannie does that.
I think the kid thing's the only option, right? For me and Jeannie. So I don't know. I don't know what we do about that. I'll shoot her a text right now and see if
we can. Say, this is our only solution. This is how we're both going to get, you know, like, we're going to both get better at life, not just pickle, but life.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, I don't know if you want to do this, but I'm willing to do this with you.
It's me and you. It's me and you against the world and this little baby. So we'll see. I'll talk to her today.
Yeah. Just, you know, plant some seeds.
Figure something out. Yeah. What else interesting happened?
On the men's side, we were talking about Thomas Wilson and Alshon. A surprising result to me is Lung and Connor Garnett getting to the final. I wouldn't have, you know, I wouldn't, you know, Vegas would have lost a lot of money on that one.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on that? And do we see Tyler Lung getting to another Championship Sunday this year?
I think, shout out Tyler Lung, because I feel like the last 6 months or so, like, he's gone from like where Thomas Wilson is in men's dubs right now. Maybe he was a little bit worse, but like a year ago, I think Tyler Lung was like top 15 men's dubs. Like, I think pretty much you locked that in. The last 6 months or whatever, like, the dude, like, it just has not been playing well. Like, it's a partner. He's had a bunch of different partners. It's been kind of a, you haven't seen him really do anything. So I think he looked like, if you watch those matches, like, he was super into it, like locked in, like more vocal than I've seen or heard from him. So I think he's kind of like, I don't know, but I feel like he's on this, you know, he's on the other pod or whatever. Like, he hasn't been like in the mix like for deep runs. And I think that dude's back. I mean, he's always been good. He's always been solid, but I thought he played really well. And then Connor's obviously like, dude, his two-hand speed up off the bounce is, I mean, him and Ignatovic, like, his is a lot different than Ignatovic. It's not as hard, but he places it really well. Like, I mean, that shot is, like, it's just really tough. It's just, I mean, that's one of the best off-the-bounce speed ups in pickleball, I think, for sure.
Oh, on the backhand side, there's no doubt.
On the backhand, yeah. I mean, that shot's really tough.
If it sits up at all, you're going to be, and he's good at taking a line. He's good at taking a body, taking a middle. And I think he has room to improve. Like, shot selection still could get better. But the fact that, I mean, he's getting pretty consistent results. I think they're a great partnership. It'd be cool to see them continue to play together because, obviously, like, chemistry seemed to be solid. Tyler was into it. Connor's also a very, like, positive, good partner. And it feels like they're, you know, obviously lefty-righty combo. Connor's – you don't want Connor on the right, that's for sure. Just in terms of strategy, I think it's always fun to talk about this a little bit so the listener can kind of – think about this in their own games and for their own game. For all the teams playing Connor and Tyler, one thing that I still see happen is guys hitting kind of roll drops to Connor, which roll drops are going to pop up a bit, and Connor's going to be able to crank a two-hander. So you have to chip the drop to Connor if you go over there, because that's the only way the ball is not going to bounce up and stay low. And then I didn't see, like, this surprised me over the weekend. I didn't see teams just play incredibly disciplined to Lung's backhand dig, I think that's the big key while they got to Championship Sunday is, you know, that wasn't exploited, and they didn't really, like, that wasn't really attacked very hard. Maybe he did a good job of, you know, running around it or avoiding it. But I think if you make Leung hit a ton of backhand dinks, I see him using the two-hander dink a little bit. It feels like, you know, anytime I kind of see a guy going from one to two back and forth, it's like, okay, I'm going to keep peppering that side, because they also are a little indecisive on how they're going to hit this dink. So there's just a lot, there's more variables, right? So there's more that can go wrong. And yeah, I mean, they did a good job of avoiding that scenario and did a good job taking the gold medal match to four games.
Yeah. That's a good point on the people switching from one to two. I never thought about that, how like that. But then I think about me doing that on a shot, and it is true.
It is a little, you get a little shaky. You're like, oh, it's a different stroke.
That's true. Yeah, there wasn't. But I guess, you know, you're playing Julian and Jack. They're not going to want to sit there and do cross court right side dink. So I guess that's a good matchup for them. And then
boring pickleball still wins, Greg. Like you said, right. Five dinks, bro. Five dinks to that little corner, and you might get something.
Yeah, I agree. But I do think Tyler's playing a little better too. Like he just seems like he's playing good. So I mean, obviously, he's still got the slice. He's still not going to do much off the bounce over there. And I mean, listen, if I'm playing them, then I'm telling my partner, hey, keep it. Let's not get in the cross court with Garnett, because if your ball sits up at all, he's going to try and pound it at me.
Yeah,
let me go cross court with Leung, and then I mean it's tough on the drop too, because Leung's earnings are so good. Like I've played Leung a bunch of times, and like every single time I play him, I'll be dropping from the right, and I think I hit a good shot cross court to him on the right, and he'll earnie that ball.
Yeah,
which no one does that.
Yeah.
No one. I've never seen anybody do that. And he's a lefty, so he's got the forehand. It's a little easier. But, I mean, that is when you're like, God. And then he puts so much pressure on you with that Ernie. I agree. The dink is still – he doesn't do much off the bounce, but
he does a good job protecting it. Does a good job protecting it. And
yes, he does.
I would say, you know, that ball gets chest high to that middle. He has really good put away power in that forehand.
He does. Leung's forehand was big. He was speeding balls up out of the air, like from his knee to a couple balls that I saw that, you know, middle dinks where he was speeding it up out of the air, and it was like way below the net, and he was getting them over. That forehand's dangerous. I mean,
that's a wrinkle too, because he used to not play that aggressive.
I feel like
aggressive. Yeah, that's the most aggressive I've seen him play, and it obviously paid off. And I think, you know, I think it probably surprised a lot of guys, because usually he's very patient and very conservative, and just really waits for a high ball, and waits for somebody else to speed up, because his hands are pretty quick and he has solid counters. But I feel like, I'll be curious to see if those kind of 50-50 speed-ups continue to work, or if guys kind of start sitting on it a little bit.
Yeah. He played well.
Yeah, played awesome. We had Rachel Rohrabacher and Anna Bright taking gold in women's. It looked pretty straightforward in the gold medal match. Did you catch any of that?
No, I watched some of their previous matches. They look good, man. I mean, I'm trying to think. They had a tight one with – one interesting thing was in the women's was Brooke Buckner and Chow Yi Wang. You see that?
Mm-mm.
They played really well. I think they made it to either the quarters or the semis. They played Rachel and Anna on center court, and it was like 8-7, something like that. They lost, but this Chow Yi Wang girl, I played mixed with her like in that New Jersey tournament, APP, like 6 months ago.
Yeah.
And she's from Taiwan, I believe. Like legit, like, you know, just moved here. She's gonna be really good. So check her out. She's super, like, the nicest girl ever. Rachel's really good. Anna's really good. I mean, they just kinda what was the final score? They played Callie and Lucy, right?
They rolled, like, it was like, I think first game was a little tight. Then it was like, it might have been like 10-6-1 or something like that.
Okay.
Or maybe that was, Yeah. Don't quote me on any of this.
Yeah.
But I then Fed doing his thing, just ultimate consistency in singles, man. Yeah, winning in straight games, I believe. But yeah. He yeah, I would say probably the most consistent singles player over the last 12 months. I mean, honestly, right? Like there's not too many tournaments where he's getting upset.
No.
And yeah, just incredibly, incredibly solid stuff. And yeah, only getting better, I think.
He is nasty. He is just, he's absolutely nasty. Who did Federico and Pablo lose to in men's? I'm trying to remember.
I think it was Connor and Tyler.
Connor, yeah. Okay, they had 2 good wins. Okay. But yeah, yep. No, I mean, yeah, Federico's the clear, you know, I think he's, I wouldn't put him over Ben right now, even though maybe the last 12 months he's had slightly better. I don't know about the last 12 months if he's had better results, but maybe the last, definitely this Sick. Year, he's yeah. been the best singles player. But he is very, very close to being number one. I think there's a conversation there for sure that he is, yep. he is the best. And we'll see in the next 6 months if he can actually overtake Ben, which is possible for sure.
Actually points wise, ranking wise, very possible, I think. Especially coming to the, you know, some of the smaller PPAs and getting those W's as he was expected to. So also very hard to come in as the one seed in, you know, singles is deep and to perform and get it done. So we also had the APP Sacramento going on. Had some interesting results over there, man. Had Will Howells winning singles. You know, you didn't have the Johnsons in Sacramento, so that definitely helped his cause. Played Jack Foster in the final and got that W, but I don't think Will's played very much singles over the past however long. And yeah, I mean, to win an APP regardless, those, you know, there's a lot of good players. It's super deep, there's qualifiers, it's great result for him. I mean, this game's kind of suited for singles. He's got a pretty big serve. Pushes the limit on where he makes contact with that thing pretty high up, and pushes you pretty deep back in the court on the return, and then hits really nice forehands and moves really well. So
so
good result for him. We had Georgia just cleaning up. Her and J-Dub took mixed. Her and Braverman, I believe, took gold in women's, and then Georgia beat Fudge in singles. So
is she triple crowned, huh?
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Maybe we should double check that. But I'm pretty sure.
I know they won mixed.
Yeah, my question's on women's, but I believe they took it. But maybe. Yeah, I know Fudge and Barr got bronze. Georgia played with Braverman, and then we had Yana and Millie as well, I believe. But yeah, fun to have kind of a mix up. We had the Newells, Yana and Ben were playing. We had the Johnsons, we had Tardio. Tardio played with I believe Braverman as well as Andre, since I couldn't get out there. And yeah, we had Jada play with Will Howells. Which was fun. I mean, they kind of cruised to the gold medal match. I don't think many of their matches were very close. Same with Andre and Tardio. And then Andre and Tardio took the gold in 3 games. I believe, kind of lopsided stuff. I think it was like something like 11-3, 5-11, 11-0. Kind of ran away with in the third. But
yeah,
I think that's the experience for Will Howells. I think, just... probably too many loose errors, and the other guys just, you know, kind of more vets and more experience and kind of play a little cleaner at the big moments.
Yeah. You know, what's annoying is, like, I wanted to watch some of that this weekend. And,
you sent me a text. Yeah.
I'm like, oh, this is an interesting match. And I go on YouTube. I go on APPTV.com or YouTube page. Not there. Sunday's not there. Saturday's not. They're not put. It's on. I mean, we'll have to go into this. Listen, I'm not in the sports business world like that. I've never worked in, any of that stuff. But the fact that you have to have an ESPN Plus account to watch this stuff, and it's not on, there's not even like a second court stream on YouTube or anything, is, to me, does not make any sense. It is totally perplexing. I don't understand it. So that was, again, I'm trying to watch. Maybe there's other people trying to, you know, hey, who's this Will Howell? I mean, even me, I play these tournaments. I've seen Howell play, not that much. Like, I don't know, like, I've hit with him before. I never played against him. I've seen him a little bit, but, you know, it would be, it would, I think it would, it just, it doesn't make sense that something's not, they're not producing something, some free stream, whatever, on YouTube, even if it's a second court, if it's something. So I was very surprised by that. But yeah, anyways, interesting results. You know, Andre is nasty. I mean, Andre and Tardio just beat the Johns brothers last weekend or 2 weekends ago, whatever.
Yep.
So they're nasty. Tardio's playing. Tardio's nasty. But yeah, good results for Howell, man. I mean, I know he's in that Delray area. He's getting a lot of good practice. So yeah, he's a good player. I mean, what, yep. Hey, do we want to talk about, I mean, the fact that J-Dub I honestly, I know you don't really, we both don't know, but they're still playing APPs. I mean, do we have an update there?
I messaged Julie Johnson actually before the pod, and I was just like, anything you can tell us on what's happening in terms of contracts or what you can play or what the kids are going to do. And she was just like, well, first off, Rob, thank you for actually messaging me and asking, because you're the first person to ever do it. Everybody else just makes stuff up and says what they hear. So right. I thought that was interesting that nobody's actually directly reached out. And, you know, I mean, on the flip side of it, she was like, sadly, I can't tell you anything.
But of course.
Appreciate you asking. So
yeah,
I was like, so can I say that they are able to play everything, but that might change? She's like, I can't say anything. So yeah. So it's pretty buttoned up right now. But obviously, based on, you know, what we see J-Dub, Georgia playing APPs. I'm not sure if they're signed up for Miami at this point. That'd be good to take a look at. And maybe Josh, our producer, could look at that. I don't know if he would even know where to find that, but we'll figure that out. And then we have them signed up. The Johnsons are also signed up for the PPA in Austin this upcoming week. So at this point, it looks like they are just playing whatever they want.
Yeah.
So it seems. So I think for pickleball fans, that's the best case scenario, because you get to see kind of what we always want to see, which is players from both tours kind of mix in, and seeing, you know, JW mix in and Tardio mix in and APPs. JW got a silver. So it's like, you know, there's good players everywhere. And
yeah.
I think the more we can have those players play each other, it's just more fun, and everybody that's a fan of pickleball wins.
Yeah, I agree. And then I guess, I mean, Dylan didn't play this tournament, so I wonder if, I know that Johnson 5 were kind of all together in this, but I don't know, you know, Dylan didn't play, so maybe, I don't know, if Dylan's figured something out with his contract or whatever, and the Johnsons haven't, but it's definitely interesting. We'll see how long that lasts. But yeah, it is interesting to see, you know, guys kind of go on both tours, and there's a lot of good players. I mean, J-Dub and Georgia almost lost in mixed to Livernese and Amanda Hendry.
Yeah, dude, they were down. I did a tweet on this. They were down 9-1 in the third.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Richard. Richard, my man.
So I heard from Scarpa was watching that match. He told me that he's like, hey, you know, they're up 9-1 in the third. You got to close it out. But he did say, he's like, you know, it wasn't a complete collapse by them.
Yeah.
They just, you know, got outplayed. But, you know, you're still up 9-1. You got to close it out. But, you know, that's a, like you said, there's good players everywhere. So, you know, they win 14-12 in the third against Livernese and Amanda Hendry. I mean, so, you know, anybody can beat anybody at this point.
Yeah. I mean, that they should have won that match. They had nine match points. And I think, awesome. You know, a little bit more experience playing those top players like that, and they close that out. So it's just that's an experience issue. And yeah, I think you're right. It shows that the margins on both tours are very slim. There's good players everywhere. And yeah, I mean, that's what makes this, that's what makes all of it fun, is when we have results like that. And it's not just everything's just chalk all the time and the better team's always winning. Like, this is, that's what makes pickleball fun. So
yeah,
we'll close that out on the recap stuff. I think we can, we're talking a lot about like the nitty gritty, but I want to kind of talk high level Austin, because Austin's this weekend. APP has a break until Miami the following weekend, but in Austin, we've got some really fun, interesting pairings. And we've got a really special guest, Gregory, Mr. Greggles. Oh, whoa. It's Mal and Dodie. Look at this. Oh,
wow.
Mal's in my usual, she's in my usual seat for the pod.
Wow.
Welcome to my better half, Miss Malin.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Better half, I like that. Good morning, Malin.
Hello, Greggles. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm better now.
There's been a lot of talk already, Malin, about how Greg has baby fever. We've talked already about how he thinks him having a baby would make him 5 to 10% better at pickleball.
Really?
Yeah, and there's some solid facts and evidence based around that. I think he's got a suitor picked out. It's just a matter of getting her on board.
Who's the suitor?
Well, no, we're just, no. I don't want this to get back to Miss.
That was a joke. It was just joking.
Just a joke. But then, you know, I said 18 months. Like, I don't know if you remember, first MLP.
I remember.
Last year.
12 months ago.
Was that, that was a year ago.
You got 6 months, bro.
Dude.
Somebody would have their baby inside of me within 18 months. And I said that 12 months ago. That's what I said. I didn't say I have a kid.
Their baby inside of you?
No. I would put a baby inside of someone else within 18 months. So they might not have the kid, but they would be pregnant by 18 months. So I got a lot of time.
6 months.
6 months.
You do. You do.
Six months. So we got to get going.
We got to get moving. We got to get moving for sure. This is fun because Malin sees a lot of this. She watches a lot of the pickleball with me, obviously at tournaments with me, knows a lot of the players, knows a lot of the games. So just fun to have her on to get another perspective. And Malin, just to let you know, we already did talk about Ryan Roach, the Rowdy Pickle, and your Thursday Night Women's League, because Greg's tip of the day was just make 5 dinks.
Yeah.
And I was like, at the women's league, that doesn't happen. There's no 5 dinks.
No, that doesn't exist. I just think, that doesn't happen. That didn't happen really much. Dinking just doesn't happen. I don't know. Yeah, the tip of the day, that's a good tip of the day. It just doesn't happen. It's like the make one more ball thing is just not, it doesn't exist, because especially in our league, you know, there is like a certain level of disconnect of like people who want to really play and people who are just there, and so there's kind of finding that balance of like not overplaying. If you're like pretty competitive, it turns out I'm pretty competitive even at like my lowly level. It's like stuff does aggregate me. It's a really good experience.
Yeah.
Playoffs are actually this Thursday night.
Uh-oh. Big time. All right. We have a big weekend in Austin at the PPA. We've got a bunch of fun matchups, fun partnerships that we don't typically see. So I will throw it to you guys. I'll throw some partnerships out. I want to hear your guys' take on them. We will start with mixed doubles. We have the Orlando Squeeze partnership of Anna Bright and Andre Daescu. We've got Megan Dizon playing with Gabe Tardio, which might be a first-time partnership. We've got Jesse Irvin playing with Christian Alshon. We've got what I think is a nice sleeper team with Mari Humberg and Martin Emmerich. We've got Mary Brasha playing with Zhao Mei. We've got Jade Kawamoto playing with Connor Garnett. And we have the classic ATP team of Paris Todd and Hunter Johnson. What are you guys' thoughts on those?
I mean, I like the Martin Mari combo. She's a righty, he's a lefty, right?
Yep. So and Mari loves that backhand.
Yep. She's got that cut. Nice slice. Yeah, if Martin, that's a good sleeper hit. That's a good way to describe him. Because when Martin's on, he's on, man. There's overheads, there's angles.
So, yeah, I think Mari and Martin is a solid sleeper pick. I think Mari has a lot to clean up in terms of the midcourt, in terms of forehand drop, stuff like that. But, man, is she dangerous out of the air on that backhand. She's got the best roll in the women's game. I don't say that. Yeah, I mean, that's just a fact. Better, like, Etta's got a nice one. It's better than that one. Like, out of the air, Mari's filthy on the backhand side. So when she's able to play the left and mix, especially with the strong right side guy, it's, dangerous team.
Yeah, and I think Martin's gotten better at dinking, too, on that side.
Yeah, he certainly has. There's no prettier overhead in the game.
He looks great, too, out there.
Than Martin's overhead. And he does look fantastic. God, he's got that tight haircut now. He's got those big shades. What do you think about Martin Emrys, Greg Dowell?
Big fan, obviously, for obvious reasons. You know,
what fitness. Obvious reasons?
Yeah, and he's, you know what? What I like about him is he's because, you know, he's fun to look at, but he's also a great man. You know what I mean? And that's what really gets me going is when it's not just the looks, it's, you know, his heart and his mind and his soul. He's got it all together. He's a guy to look up to. He's a guy that you want to model yourself after. So shout out Martin Emrys, great guy. That's a good team right there. Amari's nasty on the left. I'm trying to think who, I mean, you know, there's a lot, all these partnerships are pretty interesting. I think AB and Dice Q is the best team out of, you know, these ones that we've mentioned. Do we know if Ben and Anna Lee are playing?
No, they are. I just listed like not necessarily. Players. Yeah, right. I just listed kind of what I found to be interesting in this one.
I would say AB playing. And Dice Q, like if we're talking about which of these teams has a chance to make a semis or a finals, would definitely say AB and Dice Q. Tardio's playing so good
Alshon
right now.
And Irvin?
Alshon and Irvin, yeah. I mean, Alshon's playing great, obviously. They're definitely dangerous. I don't know if Jesse. It's hard for me to tell, like, how good she is. Like, she's obviously good, but, like, if she can, you know, right side dink with a Kalamoto or something and, like, not, you know. I don't know. I mean, she's good, but, yeah, they're definitely dangerous. I think Tardio Dazan could be nasty too. Like Tardio is just like he's so tricky.
He's long. He's got a lot of offense and mixed.
He's got a lot of confidence right now too. Like his results are great. So there's a lot of interesting. I like these new pairings. Like it was interesting even this weekend in Minnesota. Like just to see different guys together. You know, different mixed teams. So I think that does make for that more interesting viewership with these switching around the partners a little bit, you know?
Agreed. And it's going into
fun to watch that way too. Like, I mean, just having new matchups in there makes a world of difference in terms of personalities too. And like how they end and.
It's such a good point. And I think my dream scenario for these tours is that you can't play with the same partner more than like call it 5 times on the year.
Oh, I'd be interested.
And then whoever has the best results individually, you're still going to be the top ranked spot, but you don't have like this boring monopoly. I think that would be super interesting. And you would get different matchups and you'd be looking forward to like, let's say, you know, somebody plays with somebody the first 5, you're already looking forward to the 6th tournament, right? Where, so you have that anticipation of like, okay, this is all refreshed in a little bit. Mm-hmm. I would love to see that happen. I don't run a tour, so it probably won't happen, but I think if we can get everybody rallying behind that idea that listens to the pod, Let's do it.
I think you could, there's also something there with like really having a true, like, who are the best players in the world? Because if you're switching partners all the time, you know, it might be like people might like it's hard to judge like how good like Pablo Tellez is because he's always playing with Stackshire. But if we have these guys switching all the time, it gives you a better idea, a more concrete list of, hey, these are the top guys because they played with all these different dudes and they had, you know, X and X results. So like, I think that would be just good for that too. And really getting like a true, more of a true ranking of like, these are the best players, you know?
Yeah.
Agreed.
How do these individuals do with external, yeah, right, anything external or even, yeah, that's huge.
Right.
I think it'd be super fun. And then, so we got, let's just go to men's doubles. I was thinking about this guy yesterday. I haven't seen his name. I haven't seen him at a tournament. Stefan Auvergne. He makes his return in his home of Austin. He's playing with another guy playing with a lot of confidence, Will Howes. So you got Will, you got Howes on the left. He was on the right with J-Dub, which not his more confident side. He's definitely better over there on the left. So, you know, that's a pretty dangerous combo, depending on how Stefan's playing. If he's been playing a lot, haven't seen a lot of him, but I think that's going to be a tough team. We've got Dekel Bahr playing with Gabe Tardio, which is a lot of reach there, a lot of length. They'll definitely be dangerous. We've got Connor Garnett playing with Pat Smith. Jay, I guess, has taken this one off. We've got Rettenmeier playing with Augustus, which will be fun because Augie's been playing really, really well. We've got Patrick Kalka, who we didn't mention this at the APP Sacramento, but a qualifying team. Him and I believe it was Daria Walchak beating Fudge and Daiescu like 1-8 or something and getting all the way to the gold medal match. So he's playing really, really well. Patrick Kalka's playing with Rafa Hewitt, which will be an interesting matchup. You got Lung playing with Julian Arnold. We got, this is my sleeper team. We got CJ Klinger playing with Xiaomi. I think Xiaomi's underrated at doubles, and I think CJ's probably underrated at doubles, and I think they could be very dangerous. The most fun team in the bracket, though, and I think you'll agree with this, both of you, is Mr. Abraham Dinkin / Thomas Jefferson / Dwight D. Eisenpower, Mr. Eric Roddy, playing with our all-time favorite, Altof Merchant. What a team. What a team. Can you imagine the stuff that's going to be coming out of their mouths during whoever they play? Wow, fun stuff. We've got Thomas Wilson playing with Hunter Johnson. So New Braunfels boys. And then we have Hunter's probably just like, I can't play with Yates. I don't know who Yates is playing with, but he's playing with somebody else. And then we have Matt Wright playing with Andre Daiescu, which is an interesting one.
Oh.
What are your guys' thoughts on all of those names that I just mentioned? Anybody really stand out?
I mean, always Andre and
Matt Wright. That's going to be fun.
Oh, boy. God, that's good. I also, I like CJ Klinger, man. That kid is... He's good. He's just good. He hasn't been recent. Has he played much this year? Or
He took off this past weekend, but he's going to be playing PPAs, MLP. He'll be playing some, I believe, I don't know if he's playing APP or not, but I think CJ Klinger, he's a young kid and he's still got, I mean, he's tall. All these kids nowadays, Greg, I was thinking about like the APP next, and you got Livernese, 6'3". You've got Spencer Lanier, who's a giant. You've got Jaden Broderick. Why are all these – what's happening? Why are all these kids so freaking big?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, they're putting a lot of chemicals
in the food. Why are they so
long? Yeah, it's weird. Yeah. I mean
– So you think it's radiation? You think it's like radioactive strawberries?
You know, they put growth hormone – you know, these chickens are like three times the size of what they should be. Right. Cause these farmers, they just pack these dudes in with growth hormones. So you eat that your whole life and these giant, you know, jacked cows and stuff. So that's maybe part of it. We don't have to go down that rabbit hole, but you're right. They are big. I never really thought about that. Cause as a big guy myself,
fellow big guy.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's just kind of. And by the way, Livernese is nowhere near 6'3". Let's be clear about it. He's maybe because I love Livernese, but I'm 6'4" without shoes on. I'm as tall as Daisuke. I'm as tall as Bellamy, Roscoe. I'm the same height. I measured with them.
Okay.
Livernese is maybe 6'1", 6'2", maybe 6'2". But yeah, these guys are freaking huge. It is so Klinger's probably a legit 6'3" now. But yeah, these guys are big and they're long and they're young and it's like it's crazy. The next like and like they're not in their prime. You know, like they're
all of these kids are going to get so much better.
No, I mean, even 3-4, like even 2 years, you know, the difference between 18 and 20 is, I think, a pretty decent difference, especially 18 to like, you know, way in the future, 18 to 25. I mean,
Greg, I couldn't start connecting like my mustache hair to like my beard hair until like 2 years ago, 36.
Yeah, I still can't even do that. Yeah, and these guys, so we got to get, you know. Yeah. These guys are big, they're long, and yeah, they want it, man. So it's there's a lot of really good young kids. Pickleball's in a good spot as far as that goes.
And it's interesting because they're all pickleball first and not tennis first, which is kind of the new generation where it's going to be the Dylan Frazier's, where it's like, no, I never played tennis. I only played pickleball. And that's an advantage. I don't think tennis is an advantage for singles maybe, but it's certainly not an advantage for doubles. I think learning pickleball from the get go and maybe playing some ping pong on the side's ideal,
yeah,
but it's certainly not tennis.
But do you think that they're like these long guys that they're particularly athletic, or do you think that they all just have like really good hands, or what do you think it is? Because I like Richard's pretty athletic. Like I would say that guy's into fitness. But like some of the other long boys, I see them more as like just really good hands and like taking things out of the air. I don't know. It's just interesting to look at their statures. And I'm like, are they out there grinding in the gym, or what are we doing?
Yeah, I think they are surprisingly athletic, because I think Spencer Lanier is a sneaky good singles player, and Jaden Broderick's had some decent singles results too. So I think for their size, I think people are just freaks now, man. You think about like Medvedev, he's 6'6" and he moves fantastic.
Yeah.
It's like, again, Greg, I think you're onto something. It's the growth hormones. It's insane. Yeah. Like I was born a few years too late. Your parents were ahead of the curve, knew how to feed you.
No, I was eating like Kashi cereal and like the healthy stuff. Like not like my mom got really into that. Like, you know, all these chemicals cause cancer, which they probably do. So I didn't get that much growth hormone. That's why I'm tall. But
imagine what you would be. Imagine what you could have been.
Imagine if I could actually, you know, move at even a reasonable pace. I mean, you know, things would be good. But yeah, no, these dudes are like, they're not like, obviously, like we're not talking about the NBA or anything where they're 6'7" and they move like gazelles. But I would say like, and also I just want to make one point with like this athleticism talk. Like, I think, like, I don't know, like, when this word changed, but being an athlete and being athletic used to be like, how good are, like, Bo Jackson is the best athlete of all time, or Deion Sanders, because they were able to be a Major League Baseball player and an NFL player at the same time, right? That's because they excelled in athletics. So I think like explosiveness and quickness is obviously a huge part of that. But like, I think in pickle, like hand-eye coordination and just like touch, feel, finesse, like those things are a big part of athleticism, especially in pickleball. So like, you don't have to be, it obviously helps to be quick and explosive, but especially in doubles, as long as you're reasonably quick, reasonably explosive, and you're tall and you have good hands, good hand eye, like that's the biggest thing as far as like athleticism and the makeup of a good pickleball player for doubles is like, I think those are a bigger factor if you have the size than, you know, explosiveness and quickness. Those are obviously very helpful, but those kids are very like, that's what I see is like, I think if you talk to other pro players, you look at someone's hands. Like if you're looking at potential, you see, okay, does this guy already have good hands or decent hands? And then he can just, cause you can clean up the soft stuff. You can work on your dinks and your drops. And it's easier to clean that up and make that really consistent. It is harder to, you can improve your hands for sure, but I think there is a cap of, you know, how much better can you make your reaction times and your hand speed? So that's what like I see with like a Klinger. He's got great hands. Spencer's got good hands. Jaden's got good hands. Livernese has pretty good hands too. Like, so that's
but a little on the lower side, I would say, for Livernese and the other guys.
Yeah, yeah,
probably
in comparison like to like a Klinger or something. But
still good enough to where I think he can improve them and be at kind of the higher end of talent.
Yes, yeah, and he's got that quickness and athleticism. He's got other things, so. That's what I look for. Those dudes got it.
It's just Mullen, I think you'd probably agree. That was just a phenomenal point made by Greg that athleticism isn't just explosiveness, that it is the finesse, soft hands. Like all of that is athleticism, the hand eye. And just Greg, I'm very impressed with you right now.
I just say that because like people like, because a lot of times they're like, oh, Chris, like these guys are so athletic. And I'm like, yeah, they're like, because there's a lot of guys that are quick and fast, but they're not that good at sports. Like that's the,
it doesn't matter in pickle. Like that, like being athletic, you're like, wait till all these athletes come in. It's like, yeah, it doesn't matter. No. Doesn't matter. No. Doesn't matter your explosiveness. You have to have the feel.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you'd like, rather like a 10 out of 10, like feel, touch, hand-eye coordination, and then like a 6 out of 10 athleticism versus 10 out of 10 athleticism, 6 out of 10 hand eye feel, right? 100%.
Totally.
So, I mean, again, these guys are athletic enough, but I think it is like a mental thing too. Like a Livernese or these young guys, like once they start getting those bigger wins and and it's a confidence thing, then they'll really take off. And I think Klinger's taken that step. He's gotten great wins and he's already a really good player and he's confident. And the dude is in Mesa, where I was at the last PPA, he was hitting off the wall in like the middle of the big facility in between matches. There's a, you know, thousands of people. He is just like slamming the ball off a wall in the middle of like the check-in place. And just like doing like counter reset, like, I mean, it's crazy. And it wasn't even a joke. It was like, I'm like trying to talk to him, like, CJ, what's up? I'm talking to his dad. And he's like, he's locked in. Like, it wasn't for show. Yeah. So these guys want it too. They want it.
Yeah.
So women's doubles, some interesting new pairings. Of course, we've got the Anna Lee, Catherine, all of the regulars, but we do have some, we have Lucy Kovalova, who is not playing with Callie Smith this tournament. I don't believe Callie's playing. Lucy is playing with Jackie Kawamoto, which I think is very interesting. Jackie and Jade are not playing together. We've got Jade playing with Andrea Koop. We've got Leah Jansen playing with Lindsay Newman. We've got Tina Pisnik playing with our Triple Crown winner from Sacramento, Georgia Johnson. We've got... I find this to be an interesting team, both California based. I think Caitlin Christian, former pro tennis player, very athletic. I watched her play some in the last tournament in doubles. She's always been good at singles, but her doubles game impressed me. She's playing with Jeannie Arakina, who I think is underrated in doubles, certainly women's. And we've got Jesse Irvin playing with Rihanna Valdez, both California players. Thoughts on some of those pairings?
Well, I like the Jeannie one. Her roll dink, that dink is scary.
I don't like going against that dink cross court on the backhand.
That's a good really pairing, good. But yeah, I think got Georgia Johnson and Tina. It's Georgia and Tina?
Georgia and Tina, yeah.
I like that one a lot. I just think,
My question is, who's on the left, who's on the right on that one? Because obviously, I think both better on the left.
Yeah.
That's my only question mark with that one, but I agree. I think both never, you just can't. It's the best Johnson. Can't count out the best Johnson.
Georgia got to be on the left, I think. I would think. I feel better about it on the left.
Any of those that stand out to you, Greg?
Yeah. I haven't seen Rihanna Valdez play in a long time.
I haven't seen much of it either.
Yeah.
But that should be interesting.
Yeah. I think she's pretty good. Yeah, I think, let me see, Lindsay Newman, Lucy.
Oh, that's a good one. I like Leia.
Leia Lindsay will be solid.
That's a good team. I wonder if, when's the last time Lucy Kovalova played a tournament without
Callie?
Yeah.
Didn't she play one with Leia last year?
Did she?
I think so.
I'm not sure. But
yeah, but that's an interesting.
Lucy and Jackie will be, I mean, they'll be good. Yeah. They'll be tough.
That's a good one.
Yeah, there's a lot of good teams there. I'm interested to see this Caitlin Christian girl. She's tall too, isn't she? And she like
she's on the taller side for sure.
And
Jeannie's got good reach too.
She's easily 6 foot. She's very tall, so that's like a very dangerous team.
So yeah, a lot of and super interesting pairings. And in Austin upcoming this weekend, we've got the APP Miami coming up, not this weekend but the following weekend. I will be there doing actually commentary for mixed on Friday, but playing men's on Saturday with Andre back at it. Been rehabbing a little bit. Knees feeling better for sure. Certainly good enough to play the right side in men's. So excited to be back. Greg, are you going, Greg?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
I don't know. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I don't know.
So Miami will be good. And Mullen's playing women's. What 5-0, 4-5? What are you playing, Mullen? I will say what I've learned from the amateur, like just being a little bit more like before I met Mullen, I had no idea what was happening on the amateur side. I had no clue. I had no experience. I didn't know. People take it very seriously, Greg. I mean, I'm talking like more seriously. I would say 5x more seriously than I take it. I mean, they're drilling, dude. They're drilling 3-4 hours a day. They're talking strategy for a tournament that's 3 weeks away. Like, they're trying to win rec games. Like, play to the weaker player, exploit them, attack, win. Like, it, dude. Amateur pickleball is wild.
Yeah.
It's wild. I did not know that stuff was real. There's leagues in Jacksonville where it's like, you know, 4-5s, 5-0s, dude, they're like fist pumping. It's like, it's people, amateurs, like, yeah, it's more intense than pro.
Yeah, people love, I think that's a good thing because people, it's not just like, oh, I'll go play pickleball once a week or once every couple weeks and have fun. Like a lot of people are, like you said, really, really into it. They really want to win. They're playing tournaments, they're in leagues, and that's only good for us, for pro players, because if people are more and more into it, they're going to want to get better. They're going to, okay, let's watch some pro matches. Let's see what Rob Nunnery does. Let's see if we can model our game after his drop, whatever. Like, all of that's good for us. And it's good for everyone playing, and they have a competitive outlet. So I love it. I see the same thing. And I think it's great.
Yeah, I think, Greg, you're right. I didn't think about it like that in terms of players wanting to get better. It's good for pros. It's they want to, you know, study it and take lessons and camps and clinics and all that stuff. But at the same time, it's like, you know, yeah, I guess that's the point of sports, right? You want to get better. I guess, yeah, if you're playing sports, you're probably somewhat competitive and losing is not very fun. So I get both sides. But, yeah, I'm always just like, whoa. Like, it's just they it's very serious. Guys, let's wrap this because we're already over an hour. But let's wrap this with a segment that we like to call Trending Up or Down. I don't have any topics, so I think the three of us are very all smart, capable people. So let's throw out a topic, and we'll say Trending Up or Down. Greg, you first.
Trending Up or Down. Let's say, God, I might need a second here. I'm trying to think. What are the training? Could we do a player?
I've got one. James Ignatowicz. Not just playing wise, but just like everything wise. James Ignatowicz. That's trending up or down.
Well, that's too easy. Obviously, I'm going to say trending up because.
But you got to defend that position. What's the position?
James, as an athlete, as a brand, James is definitely trending up. This guy is grinding clinics. I mean, he is grinding clinics, making a lot of money. And
you said like Trump,
a lot of money. James Ignatowicz, great dinker. James is grindy. He's got this newsletter. I mean, the dude is just like, and what's great about James is he, you know, I was talking to him the other day. It's like, if I got his, I'm assuming he's making a lot of money just from his contract with PPA/MLP. And if I was making whatever crazy dollar amount he's making from that, I would not be grinding a bunch of clinics all the time, even if they were paying me a bunch. But he's doing that. He's trying to maximize everything. He's trying to maximize his game and still working on his game, maximizing his money, growing his brand. So the guy is a true inspiration. He is everything that I want to be, even though he is younger than me by several years, like 3 or 4 years. But I'd look up to him.
I think the funny part about this is, of course, he's turning up for you, Greg. But the funny part is, before Greg got on the podcast, I was in the studio here with Josh, our producer, and Josh was like, "Is James coming on?" I'm like, "No." I mean, I actually texted James to see if he wanted to join us, but he hasn't gotten back. He's probably teaching cancer clinics or doing 3MEs, hitting people.
Yeah.
But Josh asked that because Greg came into the studio, listed his name as James Ignatowicz. No surprise. And then he's like, "I'm just kidding, guys. I'm just kidding." Yeah, I think trending up for me, because I think the one through line that you guys both mentioned there is the dude has to love pickle. He loves him some picky, and the only way he could do those camps is if he actually loves the game, and he does. Mm-hmm. Like, he wants to dink all the time. He loves the sport. And I don't think that comes through any more than the fact that, yeah, he's got that contract and he still wants to go out. And I mean, obviously he's making a lot of money for teaching the camps, but you know, it's a lot of effort to hit the road and teach a lot. It really is. Like, you have to be on, you have to be outgoing, social. And the hustle's real. James Ignatowicz, trending up.
I got one. Yep. The APP tour, trending up or down?
Yeah, and I think trending up as well. I think sometimes all it takes, Greg, is just sticking around, you know? Like, the fact that they're able to stick around and still have a great product, not just for amateurs, you know, I don't think it's disputable that they have the best amateur experience at this point, but the fact that they are still relevant on the pro landscape, and even like amidst all of the stuff that's happened with the merger and the different leagues and tours, like, there's still a good product. I mean, obviously there's a lot that can get better in terms of streaming and more streaming and having more visibility and stuff like that. But I mean, it was on ESPN2, this championship Sunday was. I know you said ESPN Plus, which not on YouTube, which is a little bit of a bummer that you have to have a subscription to watch it, but ESPN2 showed
that's
the
cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so they actually played a couple gold medal matches on Saturday, just so they could. So it wasn't live on ESPN2, but they wanted to cut it up so it would be a good product to show on ESPN2. So they recorded Saturday, aired it Sunday. But I mean, that's good visibility. ESPN2 that's real, that's legit. And look, they've got Shaggy coming into Miami. So how can you not say turning up?
Well,
that's a lot. Let's just go Outback Steakhouse.
Outback. Well, I would say Outback is trending up. I would say Outback Chili. So here's what's happened. Like the Applebee's, the Ruby Tuesdays, those are really struggling, I believe, especially Ruby Tuesday. You don't even see those anymore, right? Chili's has a phenomenal menu, really good food. Chili's is doing fine. I think Outback is in the same boat there, where they're a little bit above, like even a Chili's, maybe slightly above a Chili's, definitely over like a TGI Fridays, Ruby Tuesdays. But Outback, Red Lobster, if we're talking about, you know, lower middle class, people want to go out to dinner, you know, they're in rural areas where there's maybe not some nice restaurant. They want to go out for a decent dinner, get a good meal, spend, you know, them and their partner spend, you know, 40, 50 bucks with tip, maybe a couple of drinks, and have some good 7 out of 10 food. Outback Steakhouse is a really good spot. And it's kind of in that Red Lobster, maybe Carrabba's, throw that in there as well. So I think the great thing about a chain, and especially Outback, is you know what you're going to get. And sometimes in life, when you're looking around, you're like, oh, I can go to this cool, you know, hip restaurant and support local businessmen and, you know, $20 minimum wage, man, all this stuff. That's great. That's great. You know, we'll support local. But sometimes they're not that good. And there's a reason sometimes why an Outback Steakhouse, because guess what? They were probably a mom and pop shop back in the day. There was probably one original, some Australian came here and created Outback Steakhouse in, you know, New Orleans or whatever, and made one place. And guess what? It was good. And guess what? People came. And guess what? They made money. And you know what they did? They opened another Outback Steakhouse. And then that, so there's a reason why, and this is, people know this, but there's a reason why a Walmart and Outback, these companies don't just start like that, right? They make a good product, they're successful, and then they grow from there. So you got to respect Outback. Are you going to get a 10 out of 10? Is it a 10? Is it a 9? Is it even an 8? Probably not, but it's not going to be a 4. It's going to be probably a 7, right? It's going to be a 7, and you know what the menu is. You've been there before. You've been there. You've done that. You want a good meal. You know, there's a risk, right? So we got to respect Outback. We got to respect big business. Not small business is great, and I love small business. But again, there's a reason why Outback has hundreds or thousands of locations. It's because they make a good product.
I can't follow that up. I'll say trending up, and if you need a reason, the Tasmanian chili. I'll just leave it at that. But
Outback, sponsor me.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean,
Chipotle. I love Chipotle too. I go there. I eat 4 bowls a week. I mean, it's just, it's quick. It's good. It's, you know, there's no, oh, is this place good? What do I get from? No, I go to Chipotle, get my double brown rice, double chicken. You go from there, right?
Support big business.
But there's a reason why Chipotle is successful. That's all I'm saying.
It's very true. But we're gonna wrap it there. Greggles, that's a nickname, you know, bestowed upon you by Malin over there.
Thanks, Malin.
And Malin, this was you know, we've been talking about getting you on the pod for a long time, and I'm glad we were able to do it, even though it's unfortunate that Adam wasn't able to be here. But Greggles, you crushed it. And yeah. Until next week, maybe we'll have you guys join again.